also made an attempt to develop the various methodologies of how to potentially develop a language around smell. So I learned a lot from various anthropology, linguists, psychology, linguistics, and developed my own methodology somehow on behalf of that. So whenever I do a project and have done a project over these last 25 years, I always have a recorder with me. Because I work in the field. Being in the field is half my job. So work with people is essential to what I do. To understand the setting of a smell, to understand the smell. It's not just the smell itself. It's just what causing the smell, who are the people, what are the issues in the smell, etc. And when the smell is replicated, reproduced, if I'm able to do that, I bring the smell back to the same setting and have people react to the smell. And they have certain conditions to react to the smell. Like there are not more than a certain amount of seconds you have. And there is no time between you smelling and speaking. So literally what I've been recording is very much phonetics, more in direction of paralinguistics than actually semantics. So I'm doing a big project at the moment on paralinguistics in Korea at the moment. And also in Oslo is going to be all the archives for 25 years of recording will be on display with wow. Nasalo. So all these Nasalo expressions are pretty abstract. For example, if you look into color, how do we give colors name? Green, red, blue, white does not mean anything either. It's also abstract expressions towards something that's colorful, you know? But there are also various shades of gray. So how do you express it? There are various shades of a smell. So there's no argument not to look into smell and language.
Right. So how do you accomplish it?
Yeah. So I've been recording people's intuitive reaction towards the smell. And they're doing parallel studies. Like 2,000 people have smelled the same smell and expressed towards the smell. And then I have a database and look into and compare the data and make sense out of it and construct abstract expression towards certain smell. So far, this Nasalo has been very project-based, not language-based. But phonetically, if I look into the recordings, if some recordings are done in Asia, the sound of some of these expressions are completely different than if they are done, let's say, in Norway. So that is what I'm now doing. The next step will be sound, where smell expressions are expressed on the spot and then broadcasted immediately.
That's a big project.
Yeah, so it's a growing archive. And at the moment, I have 5,700 expressions, and we are doing a publication. And in the work, in a big show in Oslo, I'm also using the language to explain the display that will be on display at the museum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I use it. I use it when I teach. I use it when I do workshop. I use it wherever I can use when I speak about my work. And also, I mean, commercially, if I do commercial job, which is half of how I survive.
Yeah, of course.
I use those terms, embed them in my concepts, in my proposals, And then, of course, there is translation. But it's like learning another language. You have to want it. It's not just a fantasy language. Not at all. It's really carefully recorded expressions caused by people, by various cultures, various age, etc. It's like an algorithm of a kind, you have a database and then the similarities and then they compose, itself somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. I've looked at various components of the language over the year, and top of mind, there are some words or sounds that seem super appropriate. Like for instance, for ashtray, I think the word is puiso, puiso. I'm actually not sure how to pronounce it. Actually, I'm curious. Is the pronunciation set in your mind, or is it something that can vary?
It can vary. It can vary. Exactly. And this is also what is mostly a display is the hardcore versions. There are always a variation around each of the expressions. Mostly it's literally giving a kind of indicator there is more there. The topic is out there, So when I display it and when I make it public, it's just fragments of a bigger system. It's really an attempt to, and it is possible. And again, back to knowledge and back to the technology available for doing it, it is all there, you know, and you just have to give it a purpose. And yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm building up an Asian archive in China. I'm doing a research platform in Nanjing in China permanently. So there's going to be an institute there in that platform, a research platform that dedicated to language, Mandarin and Cantonese language.
How fantastic.
And the sound, yeah, and the phonetics, paralinguistics in towards well.
Oh, that's amazing. So let's talk about what's coming up for you. You have the CISL platform in China, and you have this exhibition in Oslo.
Yes, and then Smell Heritage Museum in India.
Oh, wow. Have you worked with Heritage in other cities or countries?
Yes, 55 cities so far. And I'm doing the Venice Biennale of Architecture with the big Extinction Project, a collaboration between Christine Agapakis, Daisy Ginsberg, and myself.
Fantastic.
I'm doing the Guangzhou Biennale, opening 25th of February. The year is packed, you know, and I have the big solo show in Oslo.